Hello. Good evening. Anybody here watch Quantum Leap when they were younger? You may or may not have. It was a smart person show. I found that a lot of smart people watched it. I watched it. If you think about it, there is something smart about watching a scientist leap back and forth through time and do different bodies making corrections to ensure a proper and safe future for everyone. Kind of the opposite of, say, Gilmore Girls. Is this all right? Is this coming in kind of funny? There's one episode of Quantum Leap I remember that was based on a Christian principle that Paul wrote about in Romans 7. In this episode, the scientist that would leap back and forth leapt into the body of a boy with Down syndrome. And that's not to be confused with a Gilmore Girl. So this scientist is in this body affected by Down syndrome. Only he doesn't know it. When he speaks, the words don't come out of his mouth the way he wants them to, and his body won't move the way that he wants it to. He knows what he wants to do, but his body seems to work against his will. If you'd like, you can follow along with me. I'm going to read from Romans 7, verse 15. This is Paul speaking here. For that which I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not wish to do, I agree with the law, confessing that it is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which indwells me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish, I do not do, but I practice the very evil I do not wish. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. How many of us also feel trapped sometimes in a body that we have only limited control over? How do we escape it? Both natures, the one of the flesh and the one of the spirit, cannot be in control of the body at the same time. One nature has to be in subjection to the other. As Paul said in verse 23, I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin. The body wants control. It has physical desires and it wages a war against your mind to get what it wants. But it can be stopped. And to stop it, you need to know what you're up against. The scientist in Quantum Leap would always rush to a mirror with each new body, so that he could see what he was working with. In the same way, James tells us not to be like a man who looks in a mirror at our natural face, and after looking away, forgetting what kind of person he was. We need to look into that mirror and know what we are working with. We need to know what we're working against. If you think Satan's your biggest enemy, you're wrong. Because Satan can't make you do anything except make a decision. So, who are you going to let make the choices that run your life? Your physical nature or your spiritual one? The right answer, I think, is clear. And now that you've looked into a mirror and you know what you're working with, how do you make it happen? I can tell you how Paul did it. Paul used to bruise himself. He used to put his body in check. In 1 Corinthians 9:26, it reads, therefore I run in such a way as not without aim, and I box in such a way as not to beat the air. But I buffet my body, and I make it my slave. He used to buffet his body. Buffet, by the way, means to beat silly, in case you haven't looked it up. Or bruise, I guess. But to make it his slave. Paul decided he wasn't going to stand for it. If his body wanted to wage war, he was going to fight back. He wasn't going to be a prisoner in his own body. Instead, he would conquer his body and he'd use it for his purposes. Anyone here ever buffeted their body? It's not really that common. I don't think I've ever seen anybody do it. Anyone here ever taken one of Ralph's college classes? No? Maybe. It could be compared to a type of buffeting. But not really. When I was in one of Ralph's classes, I noticed something about Ralph that some of you may have never noticed. In technical terms, he's what's called, or known, he's got what's known as being a sleeper. And sometimes in the middle of class, his eyelids would drop and out he would go. He explained to us once how he managed driving without falling asleep. He'd roll down the windows for some cool air. He'd turn the radio up, and then he would slap his legs. In short, he would buffet his body, because if he didn't, the consequences would be disastrous. In the same way, a good buffeting is better than an entire body being tossed into the lake of fire. That word buffet is only used one other time in the Bible that I'm aware of. And again, that's with Paul. But this time it's in 2 Corinthians. Instead of buffeting himself, Paul uses the word to describe Satan's attack on him, which is bad. Because as I always say, if you're going to be beaten silly, wouldn't you rather do it yourself? Think about that. You see, there is a consequence to sin. That our physical nature tries to deceive our spiritual nature into thinking we can hide physically behind the bushes. But the Spirit doesn't need eyes to see that Adam and Eve were still naked behind their leaves, as to our sin will still be seen behind the bushes. Wouldn't it have been better for them to have buffeted themselves before taking that fruit and avoid the buffeting of sin? This is how simple it should be. Do whatever it takes to halt your physical desires before the consequences of sin halt your spiritual desires. There's a buffeting on both sides, but it's better to have a bruised leg than a bruised spirit. Our Father knows this, and He knows the struggles we go through, and so He gave us an extra ace in the deck. And if you want, you can read with me in Romans 8, starting in verse 3. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. As sin, we'll be condemned in the flesh, as long as we walk according to the Spirit. I had a friend who was a Scientologist, which is a religion founded by a science fiction writer who didn't perform any miracles, and when he died, he stayed dead. Anyway, my friend told me once that we are all Thetans, which may not mean a whole lot to you, but in his world, that meant spirit. We are all Thetans trapped inside these physical bodies. He also believed that through Scientology, he could untrap himself and travel to Mars as a Thetan. But that's an entirely different story. I think oftentimes, Christians have a hard time seeing as clear-cut as that. But even though it may be a little more complicated, for our purposes here tonight, I'd like us to go on to continue with that thought. We are all spirits trapped inside these physical bodies. Oftentimes we don't think about the fact that we are spirit. We live in a physical world and we think physically. We wouldn't go weeks without feeding our physical bodies. We wouldn't even go days. So why then is it so easy to starve ourselves spiritually? I believe it's because we don't understand our spiritual nature. That those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, as verse 5 would tell us. Clearly, we could fully grasp the understanding that everything that is physical will pass away, and that the spiritual will only remain. Where do you want to store your treasures? Within your physical nature, which will fade away, or within your spiritual nature, which will last forever? We need to take control spiritually, learn how to work out our spirit, and make them stronger and subdue the desires of our bodies, making our bodies our slaves. Turn with me now to Matthew 4. Starting in verse 1. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he was tempted by the devil. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. And after the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus fasted 40 days. I just said a few minutes ago that not too many of us would think about going more than a few days without food. And here Jesus is working on 40 days. So with Jesus, who do you think was in control? His body or his spirit? Tell you what I think. If his body was in charge, there would have been a lot less stones left around him. Jesus was taking control in spirit, putting his body in check, so to speak, and strengthening his spirit at the same time. If he left his physical nature, or if he let his physical nature make the decision for him at that time, then it would be that much easier for his body to take control in other temptations as well. His spirit was in charge. Now take yourselves back to my quantum leap analogy. And imagine, you're like the scientist that was thrown into the body of the boy with Down syndrome. That analogy probably worked for most of us, but myself, I'm more like a wild stallion that needed to be tamed. But in either case, understand this one thing. You are the spirit. And though the spirit is willing, the body is weak. The scientist knew the physical limitations he had to work with, and so he avoided situations that would cause his body to literally stumble. You too should know your body's weaknesses and also avoid these situations. Every time you tell your physical nature no, your spiritual nature becomes just a little bit stronger. I came up with three things anybody can do for a spiritual workout that will strengthen your spirit and give it more control over your body. First, there's fasting. Don't eat any food for a day or two. Oftentimes we use fasting to show God how serious we are about a prayer request, but this time, do it to show your body that your spirit is in control. Second, if you watch TV, any TV at all, but let's say you watch two shows a night, turn one show off, especially if it's Gilmore Girls, and instead, read your Bible or pray to God. That may sound easy, but it can be difficult. Your physical nature would rather lay back and be entertained, but remember, when you're laying there, your physical nature is getting exactly what it wants, while at the same time, your spiritual nature is getting nothing. And third, you go out to dinner, even fast food, twice a week instead only go once, then tithe what you have remaining. You'll be taken from the physical and giving to the spiritual, subjecting your body to a stronger spirit. By doing these things, your spirit will be made stronger, and when times of temptation come to you, your spirit will be able to walk away the victor. Because by doing these things, you'll be setting your mind on the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 6. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but are in the Spirit. In closing, let me ask you this. When you're looking in the mirror, would you rather see a smart scientist taking control and ensuring a safe future for yourself and everyone around you? Or Gilmore Girl.